Welcome to Your Podcast or Mine, where the creative minds behind the mic are interviewed. Now, let's get things started. Here's your host, Sherry.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Your Podcast or Mine. I'm Sherry, and today I'm speaking with Mark Restuccia, one of the creative minds behind the podcast Best in Galaxy. So how are you doing today, Mark?
Good. You pronounced my name completely perfectly as well.
I try. Yeah. I try to be as phonetically good as I possibly can. So.
I'm impressed. Most people just sneeze.
So usually it's just, hey, Mark.
Yeah. Well, Stooge, that's what they call me. So.
Oh, or Stooge, yeah. So why don't you tell me a little bit about Best in Galaxy and how it got started?
Yeah, well, it was, me and my good friend Patch Hyde, we first started it. We had on the UK stand-up circuit, and then we'd sort of known each other for quite a few years, and we just started talking about sci-fi and Star Wars and things like that, and we just sort of did a gig in this brewery one night, and we just started chatting about it and said, oh, we should start one of these little podcasts where people talk about Star Wars or whatever. And and we thought we'd come at it from a different angle. So we thought, we don't want to just sit there and talk about Star Wars, because about hundreds of millions of people do that and we don't know that much about it. So we decided to do it like as a sitcom. So we kind of interviewed all these characters that you kind of see in the background of the films and who we just kind of made up names for. And we played all the characters ourselves and we did all the silly voices. And then in the fourth episode, a comedian called Paul F. Taylor dropped by and did like a guest spot. And he did this character called Old Joe, who was like the cleaner of the Death Star, basically. And just made it 100 times more fun. And then we decided to just make a sitcom and take all these characters, put them in their own world. And we ended up with about 40 characters and just doing 40 different voices, and they're all based on people we've met throughout our lives or just like sort of twists on famous people. And people seem to like it, so we just kept on making series. And every series, if you look at it, every series is different. So the first one is like a spoof radio show, and then the second one's a sitcom set in the Star Wars universe, but like where podcasters basically. And then the third one's a kind of sort of mashup of the original Star Wars trilogy, but taken from the perspective of two blokes who are kind of reincarnated and are basically, they just work for the Empire, not realizing they're baddies. So, and then we took all those characters and then put them in their own universe. And now we've created this whole world called Best in Galaxy, which is like its own thing now. So it's kind of sort of evolved from this silly little mess around like kind of Star Wars parody, and now it's its own thing. And it's developed from there, and it's become a book and an audio book, and we're hopefully going to make a trilogy. Well, we are going to make a trilogy of for the novels. So it's good.
It sounds like really, it sounds really fun. I listened to a couple of the episodes and I just laugh. I just picture like, one of the characters that you would see in the cantina, just like one of the guys just sitting there, having a drink, like as one of the characters in there, like someone that you only see for a millisecond in Star Wars, for example.
Like the guy that says, the stormtrooper that says, look, sir, droids. Yeah, he's the one. He's like a major character in that thing. He's just said like three words, and he's kind of one of our favourite little characters that we like to do. And he's, you know, we called him like TK127 or something in the first series, but now in the book he's called TC, but he's the same kind of character, except he's not a stormtrooper anymore. He's like his own kind of thing. But it's just they're just silly, very silly characters, and we just kind of play around with them and make them as ridiculous as we can.
So you mentioned that you have a book, a novel that plans to be fully interactive and an audio book. That comes out when?
It's out, well, sneakily, we put the paperback out already, but the official launch day is December the 8th for the Kindle. And then the audiobook is going to be on Audible, but they annoyingly don't give you a firm sort of date to schedule its release. So I've timed it, so hopefully it will come out the same day as the Kindle, but it might be a couple of days after or a couple of days before, I don't know. But around December the 8th is when everything should be sort of with us. But it's taken a long time to do and try and sort of coordinate everything so it falls, the stars sort of align. But it's great. It's like you said, it's interactive as well. So it's kind of we've created a website for the Baddies Base, which you can actually go to. So all the links in the book you can click on, or if you've got the paperback, you can put them in your browser or whatever, and they all work. So all the email addresses, the characters kind of talk to each other throughout the book, and they give each other's email addresses to each other, and the email addresses are all live. So anyone who's reading the book can actually email the characters, and the characters, well, us, will answer. So it's interactive in that sense. They can kind of email us and we'll answer them in character, whatever character it is. But yeah, so it's loads of fun, and
you can even apply for a job at the Galaxy Base.
Yeah, so it's so the baddies website is the baddies in the book are called the Council, and they've created this base the size of a galaxy, because obviously a base the size of a planet isn't good enough, and they always get blown up. So they decided to go one step further, and they've got this, I mean, it's all explained in massive depth in the book how they do it. But they've created this base called the Galaxy Killer Galaxy Base, and the website's galaxykillergalaxybase42.org, because they couldn't get Galaxy Killer Galaxy Base because 41 other people are trying to build these things as well. That's how we explain it in the book. But yeah, you can apply for a job. So in the book, there'll be a link in the Kindle where me and Patch, the lead characters, get jobs as cleaners. And the application form we're filling out, you can actually click on it and you can fill it out for yourself. And it's exactly the same as what comes up in the book. So you can email it off to us and we can apply under the guise of the MR department, which is miscellaneous resources, not human resources, because obviously it's aliens and not just humans. So the ML department will scrutinize your application, and they will get back to you and tell you whether or not you've been successful in applying for a job. So we're kind of sort of hoping it's not too successful. Loads of people.
Well, I was doing some clicking around, and I actually saw a couple of job postings that I may apply to. So
yeah, that would do it.
I'm not going to tell you which ones they are, but
no, you'll get a reply, definitely. Good luck with your application.
Thank you. So, you had mentioned that there are about, considering that there are, I don't know how many podcasts out there now, a lot, and many Star Wars ones, you know, I listen to them, and I can't, and, you know, I'm a big Star Wars fan, but not like, I'm just, you know, enough where I go see the movie, and then...
Yeah.
You know, I like it, I love it, and I'll watch them again, but I don't like go into the deep dives like a lot of people do. I'm not that sophisticated. So when I wear my Star Wars shirt and people ask me questions, I'm just like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but yeah.
See, this is the problem we had, because we just don't know enough. So we had this fan when we first started called Boxerless Bosk, his Twitter handle was, and he used to pull us up on all the facts we got wrong and everything. And he was great. We absolutely adored this guy. I haven't spoken to him for a while, actually, on Twitter, but he was like our number one fan for ages. And he would just despair at like, well, what we get wrong, because we just didn't know enough. And we were just like, well, it just, and that became the essence of the podcast, is just it's so messy and slapstick because it's all improvised mm-hmm. as well. So we don't have a script.
Yeah, well,
or anything. We just kind of, you know, wing it. Go on.
Yeah, well, you describe it as like a lo-fi sci-fi sitcom, so
yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, what we mean by that is it's a sci-fi where everything in the galaxies is as crap as here. So like, everybody's like got problems with their phone contract, and everyone's like got the same problems we've got. So there are no like laser guns or anything. They're just like everyone's got rubbish stuff. And everyone takes Visa, you know, there's McDonald's on this planet, and like, you know, there's all like, just everything's the same all throughout the Best in Galaxy universe. So everyone kind of, you know, they're still using kind of like dial up broadband in some planets, and you know, it's that's kind of what we mean by lo fi sci fi. So, I mean, there are like laser, like sound effects. Because I'm by trade, I'm a sound designer. I did it for like 25 years. So I kind of know my onions when it comes to sound design. So I put a lot into the episodes. I spend like 2 days on every episode. That's what kind of gave it a little bit of an edge, is because the sound designs, we spend so much time on it, or I do. They just record the voices and then just run away and leave me to it. yeah, Patch and Paulie. But so it's great. And the audiobook took about 3 months to edit and sound design, because again, it's just a big kind of journey. Every chapter is like a little mini movie. So it's all, you know, I've spent so much time on the sound design, and we've got music in there and everything. So it's like a big, like 9-hour audio drama. So it's good. It's really, really excited about releasing it.
Well, you know, having the background in the sound engineering is certainly helpful, and
yeah.
You know, and plus, you know, the adding in all that enhances the episodes too. So,
yeah.
How long does it take to prepare your seasons or your episodes? Does it take a while, or is it just improvised?
Well, yeah, we plan it out. So me and Patch and Paul will meet up, and we'll go, right, okay, this is happening in this episode, sometimes. We used to sort of plan out a series and then just do episode by episode. So we'll meet up 1 week, plan it all out. We'll all write it up, put our little ideas in, and then we just kind of print it out. And then we go scene by scene. We go, this is happening here. Paul just comes out with some amazing stuff that we just sit there going, wow. He's so good at just coming out with like improvised gems that most of his stuff we just keep in, because he just rambles for ages and just comes out with some incredible bits and bobs. We kind of just ramble really, like through the episodes. But with the audiobook, it was a bit harder because it all had to be word perfect, and it's more scripted. So they were all like finding it really difficult to keep to the script. But then we'd read the whole book through. And anything that sounded weird or didn't sound like it was working, we'd rewrite it. So it was a really good way of writing a book and recording an audio book. But it's the only problem is you've just got to tally both up, so they both it's both the same thing. Otherwise, and that's where the work comes in, really. But yeah,
right,
it's a good way. If you're ever writing a book, get two friends to come out and read it with you. It definitely helps a lot. Yeah.
So what motivated you to start the podcasting route? And was there a particular podcast that you had listened to that maybe said, oh, hey, this is something that I could do, and maybe do better? Or was it something that you had always thought about doing? Was it like an organic approach to it, or was it something that you listened to that motivated you?
I think it was kind of a mixture of, I used to do stand-up, and I was on the comedy circuit for about 8 or 9 years, and it's where I met Patch and Paul, and Paul still does stand-up, and he's doing very well at the moment, actually. He's just, he has his first little TV appearance. So yeah, I've always wanted to write a sitcom that I could be really proud of, and it's notoriously hard in the television industry to kind of get stuff done, or you've got to pitch stuff and you've got to wait around, and I hate waiting around for things to happen. So I just thought, you know what, I'm just gonna do it. And me and Patch went into it thinking, this is good, this is funny what we're doing, but it kind of developed into this amazing thing that was the most joyous thing we'd ever done. And although we weren't getting any money for it, we were just like, I love doing this, and this is it. We've made something that we can be so proud of, and every season is different, and it's its own little kind of world, and we love them all. Every episode, we're just like, this is the best we can do. So yeah, it kind of grew. That's kind of how it's sort of grown. And then the next step was just to go, well, we're so proud of it, we want to do something where we can make some money out of it as well. So then I decided to write the book, and then we all kind of chipped in, did bits and bobs together with it. And then Paul's wife Becky joined for the book, and because there's now a female protagonist who's one of the main characters in Best in Galaxy, which is all new. So and she's just done an amazing job. Like, she does all the female characters in Best in Galaxy now. So yeah, it's just constantly evolving. I mean, we haven't actually done a proper podcast episode since, I think, about a year or so now. We've just done little kind of promos, character profiles and things like that, and just sort of whop them up on the podcast feed. But because we've been working on the book, we haven't had time to do the podcast, but now that's all out and we're promoting that, we're going to go back to writing some episodes and do another season, like season 6 or something like that. But yeah, it's all new now. So we've got this new character, we've got this new member, and it's really cool. It's all about kind of reincarnation now, and it's just taken another level. But you'll see. You have to see.
Is that what is going to be called, Sons of the Stars?
Yeah, so Sons of the Stars. It's about two guys from another galaxy, me and Patch, and we're kings. And one fateful day, some weird little natural disaster happens, and we die. So, like, by the end of chapter one, your two heroes are dead, like straight away. And we go to the afterlife, where you go to when you die, and realize there's a person who kind of dishes everyone, puts everyone in their new bodies, and she manages all the souls and guides them into their new lives or whatever. And she's called Lacey Cutlets, whose name came from an Indian restaurant menu, which there's a starter called Lacey Cutlets, and I really liked it, so I decided to call her that. I think they misspelled lamb cutlets, but they did. Apparently Lacey Cutlets is an actual proper dish. So yeah, she's she basically puts Patch and Stooge, the main characters, into their new bodies, but she can't let them return to their home planet, and she won't tell them why. And she says, well, I can send you to another planet which it's got humans on it, called Earth. And so she sends us both to Earth with our past life memories, and you've got the option to come back with your past life memory or not. So there's two portals, and you go through one to sort of go back. And if you go back with your past life memory, you get more power every lifetime you kind of go back and reincarnate. You get more and more powerful. So me and Patch go through, and then of course Patch is like the idiot who goes through the wrong portal and goes back without his memory. So then I have to convince him that I'm from another, we're both from another planet, and we've reincarnated on Earth, and we need to get home. And the whole book's about us trying to get back to our home planet, and him not quite believing me that he's a reincarnated alien. So yeah, it's a mad little storyline, but it's kind of it all kind of unfolds during the first episode, and this is kind of like a setup to the whole trilogy kind of thing. But I mean, loads of stuff happens, and then I won't spoil anything, but it's really, really good fun. It's just really stupid stuff, really silly jokes.
Well, you did so well that in 2017 you won an award. What is the story behind that?
Yeah, we entered a couple of competitions, like these award things, because a lot of these things you kind of enter, and then a page will flash up saying, "Oh, can you pay us £50?" And we're like, "No, why should we pay you to enter like an awards thing?" So we found this one called the Parsec Awards, and they seemed quite fair, and they were kind of like a sci-fi thing. You kind of choose your category, and I think we went for best comedy, or speculative fiction or something like that. And yeah, we won. We just put this kind of 10-minute compilation clip in of like all our best bits, and they really liked it. And then we ended up winning it, and then we got these three awards shipped from America, and it was great. So that's that award's on my mantelpiece at the moment. It's great. We're really proud of that. So yeah, that sort of came from nowhere, and we just entered it thinking, oh well, we'll just give it a go. I guess we should start entering some more competitions. See what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, what do you wish you had known when you started out?
I don't know. I mean, like, obviously building an audience is a constant battle for people who do podcasts, and you've got to really kind of be consistent. And the trouble is with us, because we're all so busy and we do different things, and Paul's quite a successful stand-up comedian, so he's gigging a lot and he's not around, and Patch runs his own fudge shop, which is featured in the book actually. I do voiceover work, and I still do some sound design stuff and bits and bobs, and obviously writing the book and everything. So we're all kind of busy doing our different things, so getting us all together is a real chore. So, yeah, podcasters that I've spoken to, they get a load of episodes racked up, and then they kind of release them one after the other. And I think that's something I wish we'd have done, because the more consistent we are, the bigger our audience is, and then you can see it drop off. And when you're not releasing anything for ages, obviously, because you're not doing anything. So, yeah, I kind of wish I'd known. Wish we'd been patient enough to plan episodes, but the thing is, we're quite impatient, so we kind of just go right. We'll just get this out there, and then we'll do the other one in a couple of weeks, and then that couple of weeks never happens. So our episodes, if you look at our whole thing, it's like one, like the first season came out once every 2 weeks, and then it gradually dropped off to like one a month, and then one every 3 weeks, one, and then one 5 weeks and 6 weeks. So it's really inconsistent, but that's out in the style of what our podcast is anyway. It's just all over the place, which is the kind of vibe that we like, really.
So I mean, you mentioned that you do a lot of different things outside of the podcasting. I mean, just life in general can get in the way of podcasting. You know, I mean, even myself, I mean, there are some days that I do like 3 or 4 episodes in a day, and I just am like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
I need to step away. I need to step away for a while. But, I enjoy it, so I don't mind, and it sounds like that it's the same for the three of you too. Well, the four of you now, in context, are there any resources that have really helped you along the way?
I think the kind of podcast communities that we've come across have been really helpful because they're really supportive and they're really nice. Like the audio drama guys, like audio fiction people, just seem to be really supportive of each other. So they're really kind of good to kind of get in with and hang around with and chat to on online. And there's they've got like Discord servers and stuff. And I wish I had more time to kind of spend, you know, getting to know these people a bit more. But there's like three or four people. There's another podcast called Oz9, a sci-fi podcast, and they're great. You know, they're we chat to them quite a bit. And yeah, it's I think it's good to kind of interact with people. It's just having the time to do it. And I know everyone's got phones and like you can do it on the train and everything, but there's always some other little distraction, isn't there? But yeah, it's, I think that's a really good like thing to do, is just kind of chat to people who do podcasts and different kind of podcasts as well. Like there's a guy I'll chat to sometimes or tweet sometimes who does like a retro 80s podcast, the Geeky Retro 80s show, and it's great, and he gets some amazing guests. But he's a really cool guy, and he, you know, you kind of sort of, we tweet each other from time to time, and it's good to kind of interact with people. You feel like you're sort of part of a podcast community. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, without the knowledge of some of the people that have been around a little bit longer, it's definitely helpful to get their insight, and not just that, but have their support too. Like it's a very supportive community. It's not very backstabbing like maybe the television industry or the music industry, or you know, it's a very supportive community.
Yeah, the stand-up industry was very much like that. Very, very, very backstab. Very horrible. Yeah, comedy's like that. It's just not very.
Really?
Yeah, nobody really cares. Everyone's kind of looking over your shoulder when you know, if there's someone more important behind you that they want to talk to, you know, it's that kind of thing. Whereas, you know, podcasters seem to have more time to kind of stop and chat or you know, offer advice or whatever.
Yeah,
it's a big competition. The comedy circuit is everything is a competition.
Yeah, that's very interesting to me. I never knew that. I mean, I know that there's competition in every field, but, you know, even podcasting, I mean, I would assume that, like, for example, Joe Rogan, who's probably one of the top podcasters out there, is looking at the numbers that maybe perhaps Conan O'Brien or Russell Brand are bringing in, you know, but...
Yeah.
I'm not, because
yeah, I mean,
A, I'm not a celebrity, and B, you know, there's so much out there for everyone's taste to listen to that, you know, if you don't like my show about podcasting, there are other podcasts about podcasting too. So
yeah, I mean, I think the key is just concentrate on what you're doing and don't worry about anyone else. Just as long as you
exactly.
think that what you're doing is great and you're enjoying it and just having a laugh doing it and it's, you know, why not? That's my kind of, I wish I'd known that with comedy, because like you get so wrapped up and absorbed in how well everyone else is doing and it's all very competitive, whereas you just need to kind of sit back and go, you know what, I'm doing something good and I'm enjoying it, so let's just see what happens. And you find that kind of little things start to happen. You know, I didn't think, like this time last year, I'd set up a publishing company and put out, you know, my own. I've already got my first novel out, and this is my second one. So it's kind of like, it's not selling like loads and loads, but it's kind of, well, I've done it. I've done this, you know, and it's all kind of tied in with Best in Galaxy, and you know, I'm just sort of on the road to creating this massive universe. And it's really exciting because I'm just like, I can't wait to write the next book. And then I've got plans for another little series, which is going to come out of that. So you just kind of just roll through each day going, right, I'm doing something good today. I'll do something good tomorrow. And yeah, it doesn't matter how little or much you do, as long as you're doing something towards it. It just makes you feel like you're doing something good.
Right. So you mentioned that, you know, the challenges of scheduling and, you know, getting the episodes together. What is probably the most satisfying part about podcasting, besides, you know, being with your friends and recording something that is funny and having a good time doing it? What other benefits are you getting out of it?
When somebody leaves a good review or somebody will tweet you saying how much they enjoyed your episode, or somebody like new finds it and they're like, very occasionally you'll get a tweet from someone going, oh, where's this been hiding? And that's obviously a really nice feeling. You just go, wow, this, you know, someone's found this nonsense that we do and they really like it. And I think that's kind of the reward for it, really, because you're making someone's day, you know, and they're looking out for your next episode, and they're kind of like, they're not sitting around waiting for you specifically, but when it comes out, they're kind of, oh good, this is a new thing from these guys, let's see what's going on. And they feel like they kind of with Best in Galaxy, it's very much like the audience are in on the joke, so we break the fourth wall quite a lot, and we give knowing little nods to people listening. They know when we screw up and things like that, and we mention it, and we keep all the laughs in and stuff like that. So it's very much a kind of thing you can listen to and go, you feel like you're part of it. Do you know what I mean? And that's what we wanted to create, really.
Yeah. So this is completely unrelated to podcasting. Well, maybe it is, but is there anything that you've read or listened to that has inspired you recently?
To be honest, I just haven't had time to like do anything, to read anything. On Netflix, the odd thing, like, you know, like the Breaking Bad thing will come up, pop up, you know, the El Camino thing. And you think, wow, yeah, that's a good thing. I wish I could do something like that. But it's a different ball game, you know. It's a different kind of thing. But yeah, it's just when you see something good like that, you go, oh, that is, you know, to make something as good as that in your own field would be great. So yeah, you're constantly inspired by things around you, you know, that are good. And you just kind of
do a Breaking Bad in space.
Well, this is one of the reviews we had on Podchase was somebody said that it was our series was Breaking Bad binge worthy, and we were like, that is the highest accolade we could ever get. one of the best things ever. So we were really, really chuffed to get something like that. But yeah, that was actually Adam from the Geeky Retro Nerd Show. But yeah, it was just things like that. You just go, wow, that's.
I'll have to check that one out for sure.
yeah. So we were like, yeah, good, achievement unlocked. Let's just make some more. But you know, it's like I said, we've just got to find the time to make it. I think in the new year, we'll definitely get a season six. Because we kind of stopped halfway through season five to write a book, and left everyone hanging, really. But we did it in a way where it seemed like it could be an end. But we were like, we'll get back to it at some point. But we will definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, do you have social media pages where people can find you? And also the website, please share that too.
Yeah, we've at Best in Galaxy on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the usuals. www.bestingalaxy.com is where our website is. And it's got all the kind of wonderful character drawings, because we had a guy called Olaf Falafel who was doing all our drawings, and he drew all the characters and everything. And it was great. He's a children's author himself, and he's just got too busy to carry on with it. So we found this other guy called Alistair Beckett King, and my word, he's just done some amazing work on the book. I mean, if you've seen the cover of the book, he did that, and he's done the drawings that go inside. We've got like six or seven drawings. that go in the book as well. And but yeah, he's drawn all the characters, and they're all on the website, and you can see them all, and you can kind of there's audio clips of all the different characters and all from the new book and stuff like that. So yeah, it's have a little nose around.
Yeah, and I guess a description of the cast and the audio and all of the, you know, descriptions of the characters, and it gives a great overview of the whole podcast and the book itself.
Yeah, yeah. We've kind of sort of centered it more around the book at the moment. So if you go back to listen to the podcast, you'd be like, what is going on? Who are these people? And then if you listen from season one, you'll see how the characters develop and they turn into these characters that are now who they are on the website. So it's quite interesting, an interesting little journey for people to kind of, you know, if they want to stick with it, then it'll be worth it, because you'll see how they kind of all turn into the characters that are in the book, because the book essentially starts from scratch. So anyone can jump in and read the book and not having listened to the podcast before, but it does make it more fun if you have, because it's got knowing little nods to all the characters you kind of started out with. Yeah.
So I'm guessing that your podcast is available basically everywhere you can find podcasts, like the Apple, the Spotify, all of that, all of those resources.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. Google, I think it's on Stitcher as well. Audio Boom, the iTunes, yeah, all that, Spotify. It's pretty much all over the place.
So, Mark, do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to share to people listening to this podcast and who are just discovering yours, or anyone you'd like to give a shout out to that has been a great supporter, anything of that nature?
Yeah, I would actually. Yeah, there's this guy called Podcast Junkie, who kind of like, he's very, very supportive of indie podcasts, and he's built this whole community kind of, I don't know, you know, I'd say from nothing, but like, you know, he's got a lot of really cool people who kind of interact with him, and he's very, very supportive of new podcasts, and he'll he's been really cool with us as well. So yeah, I'd like to, you know, give a little shout out to him, and Ruckland as well, who's another guy who's kind of in that gang, very, very supportive, just will retweet people, you know, champion people that are starting out, and same with who I mentioned before, Oz9, they're just really cool as well. But yeah, Podcast Junkie's got a Discord server as well, so go and join that, and you can chat to podcasters as well who are really, you know, they want to talk to people who listen to their stuff and answer their questions, and yeah, it's just a kind of really cool thing that he's built. So yeah, that's kind of it, just kind of, you know, just chat to people and just build this kind of, everyone's doing the same thing, so it's nice to have people who support each other.
I agree. So, in closing, is there anything you'd like to share about Best in Galaxy?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to start a new series next year, definitely. So we're just going to get the book out, really. So the book's coming out December the 8th. The audiobook will be shortly after that on Audible. Book's going to be on Amazon, Kindle, and paperback. And yeah, it's great. You'll absolutely love it. It's just really, there's no political agenda. It's just stupid, funny stuff. And it's just what you'd do if you were reincarnated with your past life memory, you ended up on this planet. You'd be like, I just want to leave. yeah, they do. So you can follow their little journey, and it's the first in a trilogy, and it's going to be really good. We're really, really, really proud of it. And the audiobook is like another dimension to it. It's people are going to really, really enjoy it. And especially the interactive stuff as well. So it's all really fun stuff. So yeah, that's it. That's kind of all.
Well, then I'd recommend people to buy the physical book and the audio book as a companion then. And
yeah, that would be a fun thing. Yeah, it would be because the physical book and the Kindle, they've got all the pictures in, and you can see what Galaxy Killer, Galaxy Base looks like, and you can see what our ship, the Rince Magoo, looks like, and there's a couple of other little surprises in there that Alistair's done, and there's a map of the Best in Galaxy universe. So yeah, it's just, there's just loads of stuff in there. So it's, yeah, just buy everything.
Well, Mark Restuccio from Best in Galaxy, thank you so much for joining me on your podcast of mine. I really appreciate it. And thanks for letting us know about your amazing sitcom about everything in space with all of your characters and all the zany adventures they go on. So thank you again.
No worries. No worries at all. Thanks for having me.
And thank you to everyone for listening to your podcast or mine, and we'll be talking to you soon.